All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome. It's so good to be with you guys this morning. This is a rare opportunity for me. I'm normally with the children, with the kids ministry, since we restarted our kids group. And it was really cool joining adult worship for the first time. Not saying I don't love kids worship, but there's something different about being present here and worshiping as one body. Now, before we do that, let's go ahead and start with our shouts. What do we do?
Love God.
What do we say? I love God and I love you. Now, I'm a little bit nervous and excited to share with you guys this morning. But last week, Pastor Sam began our sermon series on Thanksgiving. And he shared how we can be thankful for God. And this got me thinking, what are the things that I'm thankful for? And I took the notepad and the pen that he gave us and wrote some of these things down. These are some of the things that I wrote down. I wrote, I'm thankful for my family, my friends, my church, and my school. And as I was preparing this message, I thought about those things that I was thankful for, and I found something that was in common with all these things. It was that they were built on a well-established and strong foundation. So I asked myself, how can we be thankful for a strong foundation? What is it about a strong foundation that causes us to give thanks? And the more I thought about it, some of these words came to mind. Powerful, weighty, steadfast, faithful, passionate, secure. These words describe what a strong foundation is and what it feels like. We know that strong foundations are an important part of our lives. They're an important part of this building that we're standing in right now. It's an important part of businesses that we work for or that we build. And it's an important part of relationships. Strong foundations are also important as a part of our spiritual foundation as well. When our lives are built on the bountiful and eternal foundation of Christ, we're able to give thanks even when trials come into our lives. So how can we give thanks for a strong foundation? What are some ways that we can do this? We are able to give thanks for a strong foundation when we are able to build it with others. You see, when Jesus began his ministry 2,000 some odd years ago, he started by performing miracles. He turned water into wine. He healed the sick, drove out impure spirits, and then walked on water. Now, Jesus could have continued his ministry by performing miracles and going from each town to town and showing and revealing to people that I'm the Son of God. But that's not what he did. Jesus instead stopped, prayed, and asked and gathered some people because he knew that he needed a strong foundation of others to be able to set the foundation of the church that we're in today. In Luke, it tells us, one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountain to pray and spent the night praying to God. When the morning came, he called his disciples to him. He chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Jesus showed us that a solid foundation is not one that is built alone, but it's one that's built by and with others. When we build our spiritual foundation with others, it makes that foundation stronger. And it allows us to be able to give thanks for that. In 1 Corinthians, it tells us, God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. When we come alongside each other, we are able to become greater than the sum of our parts. When we come alongside one another, we are able to cover each other's weaknesses. I liken this to a 2x4. Now, 2x4 in itself is a pretty strong material, right? It's a pretty strong wood that we use to build things. But a 2x4 in itself isn't enough to just build a house on it, is it? No, we need some other things to be able to make this foundation really strong. We need concrete, steel, brick. We need these things to come together to be able to make this foundation. When you add the right components together, the better and stronger that foundation becomes. And just like Jesus needed Simon and James and John and the disciples to build what we know today as a church, we too need others to come alongside us so that we can become stronger and bigger than the sum of our parts. Now, this can look different for different people because we're good at different things. For some of us, we're good at coming alongside others by words of encouragement, sending a text message or a little five-minute conversation with them, encouraging somebody. For some of us, it's by our dependability and our faithfulness. For others, we are prayer warriors, and we love praying for people and coming alongside them. And for others, it's simply the ministry of presence, being present in someone's life. Birthdays, holidays, church events. Now, when you're building the right a foundation, you want to make sure you're using the right stuff. Because you have to make sure that this foundation lasts. A foundation can't be built with sand or sawdust or random things, right? You have to make sure you're using the right material. Again, we need to make sure we're using concrete, steel, brick. Now, these are the kinds of materials that you want to use so that foundation will last a lifetime. It'll stand the test of time. In the same way, our spiritual foundations must be built on the things that stand the test of time. It must be built to last. And when we build our spiritual foundation on the eternal, it helps us give thanks for God's faithfulness and his steadfastness in our lives. Now, last year, something happened that I would have never expected in my wildest dreams to happen. Something happened that I think shook the core of our society. And I think all of us were affected somehow or another, right? No, I'm not talking about COVID. I'm talking about the toilet paper shortage. You guys laugh because we know it's true. For a month, it was like toilet paper was worth more than gold. That's strange to say. But in this situation, I think it's pretty relatable to our lives, right? When people ran out of the toilet paper, they were panic buying, right? They thought that this sure thing, this thing that would always be there, this thing that they didn't even have to think about, was gone. I think oftentimes for ourselves, too, we try to build our spiritual lives on things that the world deems to be important, things that many times we don't even realize we're doing. Wealth, status, influence, the praises of man. Now, while all of these in themselves are not sinful or bad, when we try to build our spiritual foundation upon these things, we realize that just like the toilet paper, it'll be here one day and then gone the next. In 2 Corinthians, it tells us, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." And in James, it tells us, "Now listen, you who say tomorrow or today, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on businesses and make money. Why do you not even know what would happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while, vanishes like a vapor." When we build our spiritual foundation on the temporary, when we build it on the things that the world views to be important, it can fall apart at any moment. But when we build our spiritual foundation on the eternal, on what Christ has done for us on the cross, we will never have to worry if that thing will change or disappear. And that's something that we can give thanks for. Steadiness and faithfulness is something that we can totally give thanks for. In Psalms 100, it tells us, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." And in Psalms 91, it tells us, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Lord Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." We see evidence of God's faithfulness time and time again in the Bible. We see this in, Abraham's spiritual foundation was based in the eternal. It was set in the eternal and allowed him and Sarah to have a son even in their old age. And that son became descendants of God's chosen people. We see this with Job, although he had everything taken away from him, his family, his wealth, even his health. His foundation was in the eternal, and this allowed him to stand before the Lord and praise him. And God rewarded him double of what he had. We see this even in the disciples. Their spiritual foundation was in the eternal after they witnessed Jesus' death and resurrection. And this spiritual foundation in the eternal allowed them to fulfill the Great Commission and to share the gospel with others, despite being imprisoned, despite being shipwrecked, and even being crucified upside down. And I see an example of this within my own life as well. Now, this here is a picture, if we can get that picture up. This is a picture of my family, my dad's side of the family. And then can we go to the other picture? This is a picture of my grandfather. Last August, he turned 100 years old. Yeah, 100 years old. That's a long time. He saw, you know, World War II, Korean War, all the, yeah, he's really old. Now, this man is the reason that I'm standing here today. You see, for the longest time, I thought that he was the first Christian in my family. And I took a lot of pride in being, oh, I'm like a third generation Christian. You know, I was really proud of that and really thankful for that. But recently, I learned that I was wrong. I learned that back in 1890, so that's over 100 years ago, my great-great-great-grandfather, yes, I said that, my great-great-great-grandfather became the first Christian in my family. He had come to Christ when Australian missionaries visited his village, and they prayed for healing over his sick wife. After he had witnessed this miracle, he realized that he needed Jesus in his life. You see, my great-great-great-grandfather placed his family's foundation in the eternal. And generation after generation, they continue to do the same. And I'm standing here 130 years later as a testament to that spiritual foundation. And that's something that I'm just totally in awe of, and I just can't believe, and something that I'm really thankful for. So when we build our foundation on Christ's death and resurrection, we're building it upon the eternal. And we know that that can stand for eternity. So now what? We've built our foundation on the bountiful and on the eternal foundation of Christ. So this means that nothing bad will ever happen to us, right? Well, if you remember last week, we learned that it can be tempting to blame God when things go wrong. We also learned that these tragedies, these difficult situations, these bad things are not from God, but are a result of Adam and Eve's rejection of God. So this is the world that we've inherited, and this is the world that we live in today. But when we build our spiritual foundation on the bountiful and the eternal, we are able to give thanks even when trials come into our lives. So it seems the older we get, the more God wants to test us, right? I remember when I was younger, it's like, don't play video games, listen to my parents, right? And as we get older, it's like the more that God wants to test us and the more difficult those things seem to become. I can remember a time when our family was tested. And it was pretty difficult, to say the least. It was a year or so after I had decided to dedicate our family's life to following Christ and to being a pastor. And a situation had come up where my parents had to sell their home. Now, in itself, it wasn't bad, but the problem was we were living with them at the time. And while my parents had planned for this situation, unfortunately, those plans fell through. And so for about a span of 2 months, we didn't have a place that we could call home. Now, while we were living out of suitcases and staying on friends' couches, it got even better. On New Year's Eve of that year, I woke up to a belated Christmas gift. My wife had given me this gift that was a box that was wrapped nicely, and inside that box was a card and a test. Not that kind of test, but a pregnancy test. I was going to be a father. We were going to be parents, you know? How? Why? Those are the things that we ask ourselves. Why now? How is this going to happen right now? To say that we were shocked was an understatement. It was probably the most unexpected gift that I've ever received. But a blessing, a total blessing in that. Now, it was difficult during that time, to say the least. We didn't have any money. We didn't have any home. We felt like we had no hope. But we had our church community. We had this faith that we could stand on. And we had a spiritual foundation that had been established in our lives. And we knew that God would provide. See, during this time, I think it could have been easy for us to say, I can't do this to God. We can't. We need to work. We need to do something else. It could have been easy for us to throw in the towel. We could have easily blamed God for the situation and asked, why is this happening to us? Why now? This isn't right, and this shouldn't be happening. But I remembered when I made that decision to follow Christ, to dedicate my life to pastoring, I said to myself, if I follow what God wants me to do, what can go wrong? A lot went wrong, and it was really hard. But our family had decided that we were going to pursue what God wanted for us, and we were going to build our lives upon what He desired, and that we were going to continue to do that despite our circumstances. Now, eventually, we were able to secure an apartment, and you know, our daughter was born, and she's happy and healthy, as you see here when you go out, and life is great right now. But I think oftentimes we can look at difficult situations and find it difficult to see God. We can question God's goodness when a loved one gets sick or if we lose a child. We can question His goodness. We can blame God when evil seems to prevail and we're just left picking up the pieces. We can doubt God when we pray to Him with a sincere heart and He doesn't answer our prayers. But when I look back at this situation, this bad situation, I realized that we were being tested. I'd realized that God had placed His trial in our lives, not to bring us down, but it was meant to have us lean more into Him. When I think of our situation back then, I think of this verse right here. In 2 Corinthians, it tells us, therefore, in order to keep from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weakness, insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You see, when Paul realized that this thorn that was in his flesh was from God, instead of cursing Him, he began to praise Him. He found delight in it. Paul realized that he had an opportunity to lean into Christ, to lean into His weakness, to lean into His hardships, His difficulties. He was thankful for the spiritual foundation that had been established in his life. And that was something that he was able to stand on. And as for us, in our houseless situation, we were thankful for so many things. We were thankful for the church community that had come around us and that had housed us and fed us and prayed for us during this time. We were thankful because it strengthened our trust in God, even in situations where it seems hopeless and there seems to be no good outcome. We were thankful that it revealed our spiritual foundation in Christ. And it helped us realize that that's something that we were able to stand on. Now, as I invite the praise band to come up, my hope for our church is that we can build our spiritual foundation with others, that we can be welcoming to walking alongside others and be open to others walking alongside us. I hope that we can build our spiritual foundation upon the eternal and instead of the temporal things that the world tells us we should build it on. And I hope that as we stand on the spiritual foundation, that we would be able to weather trials and tests when they come. Because they will come, as we know, and I hope that in those situations that we will be able to face them with joy and delight in our hearts. So that even when bad things happen, we can put our trust in Him. And I hope all these things because we are able to be thankful for the foundation that God has and will continue to build in our lives.